You don't prepare in a battle, you prepare for the battle. You don't play away your preparation. It's a season. It will not always be there. You know, I've said this to people. If you rush out when you are not prepared, your generation will not forget you. They will note you and not forget that you are a mediocre. Any soldier that gets to the battlefield then start learning how to shoot a gun is a dead soldier. You are not in ministry to compete, you are in ministry to work. If you want to compete at all, the only person you should compete against is yourself.
Pastor Femi Lazarus has been commissioned to go raise God's end time army. Sit back and be blessed as a gold soldier of Christ.
I commend you to God's grace. You do ministry well.
Hallelujah. One more time, can we just give God praise? And just say, Father, your word of all men. Just bless you from the depth of our heart. Oh, bless you, Jesus. Oh, Mantika Shalabadia Teroshi, Antico Stefanica, Zindi Bahaki and the Rose Steveni Mantico. Oh, bless you, Jesus. All on a totabi, all on a bab. All of Toby, all of Baba, I yield back. Oh, for the shame, oh, for a shame, but it Olorun to be Olorun Baba. Amen. Father, we give you all praise, all honor, all adoration, all thanksgiving. We come lay down our vulnerability before you. You know, we come to say that only you are able to make a man stand. In the book of Jude, verse 22, it said, unto him that is able to keep us from falling and present us spotless before the Father, we acknowledge you in all that we do. Tonight, we are asking that you will come help my lips of clay and fill it with your word. Help my utterance that it bear healing in the life of someone, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, blessed Father. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Alright, so I'll be speaking briefly on 20 relationship mistakes and its solution and their solution. 20 relationship mistakes and their solution. So we'll just pick our writing materials and get set to hear God's word. Amen. So, I believe God's word will strengthen, and I hear a big amen to that, and help us. Amen. That's our only chance, the word. Glory to God. 20 relationship mistakes and its solution. So, let's listen keenly. I want to show us a few scriptures, and I believe that those scriptures will help us. I've heard, there are some words I've heard that I want us to, you know, reason together. If those words are accurate words for a man that is in Christ, And one of such words is the word dating. So what are you doing, that guy? See, yeah, Pastor, we are just dating. No? You get what I'm saying? So I don't know whether it's carbon dating. You get what I'm saying? See, we are just dating. You know. That's the word we use to describe somebody who is around our life without a meaningful purpose. Just to test around each other and see whether it will work. And if it doesn't work, we throw each other away. You get what I'm saying? So for the new man in Christ, or for the believer, every relationship ought to be with marriage in view. Amen. True or not true? Yes, but you don't start a relationship with marriage. Yeah. But it ought to be with marriage in view. So I can't just meet Pastor Maiwa, or Pastor Maiwa can't just meet a girl on the road now, Pastor, and say, Bola, we're fair. You know, if you don't understand me of that, Bola, I want to marry you. You know what I'm saying? Do you understand what I'm saying? Can you do it? You will not try it. Amen. It doesn't look like a wise thing to do. So there are mistakes around the issue of relationship, and I believe that we should reason together as young people and then also look at the solutions around them. I'll make it very simple and practical. Very, very simple and what? Practical. And I'll be very raw. So I will rate this message 18 plus. Hey! 18 plus. So if you are not up to that, just log out. You know what I'm saying? Somebody say 18 plus. Yeah. Because I'm going to be very raw. Amen. Hallelujah. I remember those days when we used to learn how to toast a girl. Is that the same word they still use now? We're using somebody's daughter for practical. Because some girls have said yes to a guy who came for practical. You get what I'm saying? So you need to understand what you are doing. So I sent this girl a love letter. They are flat. They were living opposite our house, one tall building. So the girl collected the letter. I sent it to their gate man. So the following day, I stood on our balcony. Whenever I stand there, most times she will also be at our balcony. And I'll be looking at her, you know, shivering, and say, hey, see that fine girl. So she stood there. And I thought, you know, I'd won my lottery. Then she came down from the balcony. And then she held the letter. She was walking towards our house. So I ran down before this girl could meet my father. And I say, how far? She say, hey, excuse me. I need to go and show your daddy this thing. Eh? Is this what you do? It's your... I started prostrating, though. Everything you saw in that letter, I was just joking. I didn't love you. I was just joking. Hey! Only a joker will say yes to a joker. If you wait, you will know those who have come around to joke. You know what I'm saying? It is not a crime to make mistake. Listen, mistakes are inevitable, but they're also avoidable. You know what I'm saying? Mistakes are inevitable too. To be afraid of mistake is a mistake on its own. Where's Timilan? He's supposed to be here. He needs what I'm saying. Call him. Mistakes are inevitable, but they are also avoidable. Come out. I called one of my pastors. Hey, I will not bother sharing this story again because I've already said one of my pastors. So some people go and trace. You know what I'm saying? So I will not bother sharing this story again. But I'm the kind of pastor that can look at you one day, early in the morning, and ask you, when was the last time you kissed a girl? Because whenever anybody asks you, they'll say, have you done your morning devotion? But you may have a problem that is bigger than morning devotion. You get what I'm saying? People don't look like their problems. The way you are looking, it's like I'm attacking you. Alright. So, there are mistakes that we make around the issue of relationship that if not addressed, our life will have a toll for that mistake. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So I want to first read the scripture, and I believe the scripture will help us. The book of Proverbs If you have your Bible, turn your Bible to God, Proverbs. Proverbs chapter number 3. Proverbs chapter number 3. I'll start reading from verse 1 to 4. My son, forget not my law, but let your heart keep my commandment. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add unto you. Let not mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them upon the table of your heart. So you will find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. So it takes the revelation of truth and wisdom to avoid mistakes. The Bible said that you shall know the truth and the truth shall make you free. So freedom comes only in the area of the truth you know. Are you what I'm saying now? Freedom comes only in the area of what the truth you know. You see, when you are walking in darkness, you will stumble. And that's why it is important that you are exposed to the truth so that you can be helped to stand in different areas of your life. So he said, bind these instructions upon the tablet of your heart, that they will preserve and guide you everywhere you get to. So there are instructions that you have to not lose. You know, we're having Sunday school one time around the year 2012, and then a girl stood up and then asked a question. And then, because you need to allow people to ask questions in church. If you don't allow people to ask questions in church, you will not know how wise people are, and you will also not know how foolish people are. Yes. A foolish man looks wise until they talk. The Bible says that even if a man keeps his mouth shut, he will look like a wise man. You get what I'm saying? So the fact that somebody is always quiet doesn't mean he's wise. Sometimes when they talk, you'll be very shocked. You get what I'm saying now? So this girl asked a question. He said, if anybody wants to buy a new tire, they have to test run the tire and see whether it is good for the car. That how they said that people should not have premarital sex. Now what if she marries the guy and discover that the guy cannot do very well? I said, do what? You get what I'm saying? So what if the guy cannot do very well? So I had to ask her a question. Number one, I have two questions for you, my dear sister. Question number one, are you a tire? You get what I'm saying? So she's not tired. Question number two, do you have wild experience of doing such that you now know the one that is not okay? You get what I'm saying? Because the issue about virginity is that if you joke with your sexuality, people will leave you with feelings of excitement. It will take so much effort to please you, because you have known how to be pleased with different kind of terrible people. Hey, some people have gone haywire. My counsel is this: if you are going those kind of length, you get what I'm saying? All of you are looking so innocent now. You get what I'm saying? But I need to speak prophetically, because your look on your face cannot make me reduce what I want to say. You get what I'm saying now? So if you are going haywire, you get what I'm saying, to go get these things satisfied, the idea is that there is somebody coming into your life that God has plans for. The fellow may not have that kind of energy. Hey, so you not be expecting somebody's daughter or somebody's son to come and hang their legs on the ceiling or on the fan because you have seen wild things. Is somebody following me now? Yeah. So stay within the confines of God's instruction. You know, you are just pressing the keyboard like you don't understand what I'm saying. But I know you get what I'm saying. So I will still continue. Regardless of the looks on your faces, I will still teach the things I will teach. Because many church people have problems. You get what I'm saying? Church people are battling a lot. I think I shared the story of the brother in church who went to the chemist to buy gold cycle. So he went there and was saying, hey, chemist man, give me gold cycle. Give me like 12. Hey, one, somebody's son. Yeah. So, listen, as he bought the gold cycles, so he now collected them and put them in his pocket. Then he turned back and he saw his pastor's wife was there to buy Lucoze Boost, Ribena or some things for children. So he turned back to the fellow who was selling that thing and said, hey, Jones, Afana, what did you give me? I was saying you should give me something. What is this? Why are you guys this daft here? My friend, take. Then he ran away. He was singing in tongues in church, but he has a problem that is beyond those things. You get what I'm saying? So the reach of my teaching tonight is to help you address beyond the problem. Because there are many of you who are saying no to some girls now because you are looking for wild ones. Are you get what I'm saying? Wild people. Like wild animals. You get what I'm saying? Because you are used to... Nobody knows I'm touching you here. You get what I'm saying? You are used to those wild things. So, look up. Let me be very blunt with you. We are the one that give the devil the jurisdiction of temptations he gives to us. If you stay within the confines of God's word, it will be limited. Hallelujah. Amen. So, yeah. Keep following me. Thank God I can't see your faces. You are listening online. But I am talking to you. One way or the other. Hallelujah. The first mistake people make around relationship is the mistake of prophetic manipulation. People prophesy them into marriage and say, hey, for me, the way you are looking, I can see the face of brother Jonah on you. And you have no incline, no like, no affiliation, nothing. The brother is going to Nineveh. You are going to Tarshish. But they bring the both of you together and say, because you will have shipwreck. Most people have allowed prophets, strange prophets from the pit of hell, prophesied them into marriage. They have married somebody that should have been their mentee. The girl ought to be mentoring the boy, but a prophet said that's the husband. You know what I'm saying? So the mistake of prophetic manipulation. Let me say this to you. In the book of Genesis chapter number 2, God looked at Adam when he was walking, and God said it is not good for a man to be alone. God did not first bring a prophet to come and now bring Eve to Adam. God created her from his side and made her pass and left him for recognition. Are you getting what I'm saying now? So I have seen people, let me give you this in year 2010. I was in my hostel. Then some ladies, about five of them, one of them called me, I was mentoring just one of them, and said, Pastor, are you at home? I said, yes. So she called me, and then she came with about four other ladies, and then they brought names. Somebody has five names, somebody has four names, somebody has six names, and they were saying, Pastor, please help us pray, which of these guys is our husband? So I looked at them and I said, you believe I hear God? I said, yes. So I said, the first thing God is saying I should tell all of you is that you should squeeze all these names in your hand. Squeeze it very well. I said, squeeze. They thought I was going to prophesy something. I said, squeeze it again. They said, squeeze. Then pick those names and throw them inside the dustbin outside and leave my house. I'll call you when I'm ready. Then they did that. And then they left. So I was praying. I knelt down. I was praying. Then the Lord instructed me to go and meet them. And I called them that they should gather in one place. I was coming to meet them. So when I went to meet them, I talked to them. That number one, for a lady to have the name of 5-6 guys that she's dating, she's not born again. If you are listening to me now and you have about 3-4 people that you are sampling to see which of them, yeah, somebody said 2 now. He's talking from experience. So to see which of them is good. You get what I'm saying? You are not born again because you are leading about 5-4 people on for your own personal greedy motives. Then, you know, as I was talking to those girls, I asked them, the Lord spoke to me and said to me that I should ask them that they've gone to meet another prophet somewhere before they came. So I asked them, the Lord said you've gone to meet a prophet somewhere before you came. So he said, yes, Pastor, it's true. And then as I was leading them in prayer, the Lord gave me one after the other. You know, I didn't even check. I didn't even know the names they wrote inside those stuffs. But the Lord, by the operation of the prophetic, gave me one after the other, the name that the prophet gave to all of them. So as I was talking to them, I said, the Lord is showing me now that they gave to somebody here, Banji. He said, yes. The Lord is saying again, they gave to somebody here, something, something, something. He said, yes. Hey! One of the names the prophet gave to those girls, they discovered that the guy is a pastor, but discovered that he buried somebody inside his church. But the prophet said he belongs to God. Because all these prophets will always have something to say. You get what I'm saying? So don't carry your destiny to a place that somebody will inject the wrong things inside. They will tell you all the time they have something to say. Your wedding is going to be glorious, but don't make noise. What's your definition of noise? Because the first miracle of Jesus was at a wedding they made noise. Hey! always find something. You know, I have another bitter experience that this woman knew that this man, you know, was coming around her life, but she was not really, she was not interested at all. But the prophet of the mother said that her husband. The prophet was insisting that except God has not called him. If you are a man of God listening to me, don't prophesy people into wedding, into marriage. He said he's very sure that except God has not called him, this is the woman's husband. So the woman had to gullibly follow the prophet. You know what I'm saying? So after they got married, on their wedding night they fought. About 4 months into the wedding, the man left, but she was already pregnant. He never showed up again until 3 days after she gave birth. And when he appeared, because she had some complications, when he appeared in the hospital, you know what I'm saying? He still tried to slap her, then mistakenly hit the baby, and the baby went into coma. You know what I'm saying? Then after the whole naming ceremony, no, there was no naming ceremony because the child was almost lifeless. So he was around for like some weeks again, and then he left. He never came back for like another 2 years. But yet a prophet said they should marry. I can count number of people. I have another person like that. That a prophet told her on campus that one man from Dubai is her husband. The man came to Nigeria, married her, then went back to Dubai 2 weeks after the wedding. By that time, she was already pregnant. You know what I'm saying? So when he left 2 weeks after the wedding, he never came back till the child was 3 years old. If you don't want to make costly mistakes, don't let prophet push you into a wrong marriage. You have the Spirit of God for yourself. In the book of Romans 8 verse 14, the Bible said, as many as are led by the Spirit of God are what? The sons of God. So the Holy Ghost is within you to lead you. Pray for yourself. Pray. Ask God, is this your will for me? Is this the Messiah, or should I expect somebody else? Is somebody following what I'm saying here? So don't fall to the trap of liars and false prophets. In Matthew 24, Jesus was speaking to the disciples. He said, in the last days, false prophets shall arise. False prophets shall what? Arise, and false teachers. In the book of 1 Timothy 4 from verse 1, the Bible said, the Spirit now speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from faith, giving heed to seductive spirit and doctrine of devils. Meaning that people will seduce you away from the will of God for your life out of sweet mouth, sweet talking. If you are looking for a prophet up and down that will tell you who your husband is, it is a sign that your prayer life is dead. It's also a sign that you are lazy. Because you can pray and seek God for yourself. You know, people don't hear God about various aspects of their life, and they expect that suddenly about marriage they will hear God. Before we can trust that what you are hearing is correct, you must have heard him about various areas of your life. You must hear him when he's saying go into a retreat. You must hear him when he's saying study your Bible. You must hear him when he's speaking to you through the things you are reading. You have never heard God just now that you're about getting married. You say God is speaking. Now that's a dangerous way to hear. You get what I'm saying now? So a young man came to me also in church in year 2012 and said, Pastor, I like this girl. So I don't ask him. So I asked him, why do you like her? He said, Pastor, because she comes to church all the time. And I said, even the devil comes to church all the time. In Job chapter number 1, as the children of God were presenting themselves before God, then commit the devil also amongst them. The same girl he saw then is no longer in church now. You get what I'm saying now? So you must be careful of the thing. Don't let anyone prophesy you into marriage. So, people in this category are those who are afraid, those who are lazy, those who can seek God for themselves. Hallelujah. The mistake of marrying under pressure. Second mistake. Hey, marrying under pressure. You know, people in this category, many things could be the pressure. So I'm going to, like I said, I'll be as practical as possible. You get what I'm saying? That a girl got pregnant for a guy is not the proof that that's her husband. You will just become a baby mama. Sometimes you have been pregnant for a fool. Let him go, so your life will not be messed up. You know what I'm saying now? Nothing. You see, I've noticed that whenever you're under pressure, you will not manifest wisdom. Yeah, wisdom is rarely manifested under pressure. Anybody who can put you under pressure can manipulate you. Yeah, it's the truth. You know what I'm saying? When people subdue you to pressure, they will be able to manipulate you well. So don't marry under pressure. There is another part to this, which is the third one, which is the mistake of setting a benchmark. But as far as pressure is concerned, family pressure, societal pressure, you know what I'm saying? Church pressure. Whenever they see you, Sister T, but if I marry by, you know what I'm saying? You should tell them that their mates too are dying. You too, when will you die? Are you get what I'm saying now? Brother, Lekon, you know, you just got a new car. So when is a wife coming? You need to ask them that the proof that a man is ready for marriage, is it a car? Because sometimes you rush into something you are not ready for. Because people are always asking you, when are you getting married? And majority of those mommies that ask those questions, they are not pushing their own children to marriage. You know what I'm saying now? Sometimes they have children that are older than you, that are not married. But they will come to you and it's about 2-3 years younger and they will be asking you, when are you getting married? So don't fall to the trap of doing things under pressure. Don't be pressurized. I've always shown you the story of Dinah. In Genesis 34 verse 1, the Bible says that Dinah went out to see daughters of the land and she was defiled. Don't marry because of emotional pressure, sexual pressure. You know, you feel that something wants to burst. So you say, I must marry somebody. Hey! You know what I'm saying? You will marry your enemy. Listen. Hold on. Don't marry because you feel like having sex. Deal with sexual urge before you marry. Because the fellow you want to marry is not a sex machine. True or not true? Yeah. Now, if people are not answering me, hello? People are about getting married. True or not true? Okay, yeah. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. You know, there was a girl, a marriage like that in Ife. This marriage took place in the year 2012. Many serious things happened those years. Many serious things. This girl was about marrying this guy, but they warned her that this guy is not a good guy. She said, I will marry him. I like him. The same way Samson told the mother that this girl is fair to look upon. Marry her for me. Hey! So, the guy, the bachelor's eve, he slept in a beer parlor. He forgot. With his friends, like the, you know, I told you the story of the madman of Gadara that he stays in the tomb amongst dead people. Who are dead people? Those who are lost in the trespasses of sin. So, Friday to Saturday, he slept off in the beer parlor. So, around 8:45 a.m., somebody, hey, you will not wake up. You know what I'm saying? So, it was his wedding morning. So, he jumped up and then took bike to the house. He wore, he didn't bath. He poured water on his head. You know what I'm saying? Then wore the shirt. He didn't even button well. He was buttoning on the bike. You know what I'm saying? Then, you know, wore the suit on top. He didn't brush his teeth. It's a true life story. When he got to the church, he was looking worse than the gate man. So he went there. They already knew the kind of person he was. You know what I'm saying? And the girl was waiting at the altar, smiling, ready to marry a goat. Because marriage altar doesn't change anybody. If you leave a goat there, it remains a goat. True or not true? Yeah. The fact that you exchange ring doesn't mean anybody will change. As a matter of fact, you begin to experience peace in marriage when you learn acceptance, not change. So, they gave the guy, after they have exchanged the ring, they said, you may kiss the bride. He said, no, there's no need. When they finished signing the wedding, the oath, he folded it and put it in his back pocket. You get what I'm saying? So, we knew that this girl had carried her own pressure. Sometimes you will see that this fellow is clearly a wrong fellow. But because people are putting you under pressure, you said you must say no to pressure. Is somebody following what I'm saying now? Yeah. So, marrying under pressure is the easiest way to marry your enemy. The third mistake is the mistake of setting a benchmark for marriage. Setting benchmark. You know, somebody is saying that as a man, you know, I must marry before I'm 30. I must marry before I am so and so. People just have different things. In the book of Ecclesiastes 3 verse 11 and 12, the Bible says that God makes everything beautiful in his time and what? Season. Don't try to call forth something when you are not in the season. You get what I'm saying now? Once the devil sees that you have set a benchmark, he will arrange those who are not going your direction to come around that benchmark. And they will come looking like what you want. The fact that you want a woman doesn't mean you need her. You might be marrying a good girl but a bad woman. Or a good boy but a bad man. You get what I'm saying now? So there's no benchmark. And let me quickly speak to those who feel they are growing above the societal age, because we need to be honest that society has pressure, true or not, gives pressure. In church, in a place of work, particularly all this Valentine period, if you notice that you check people's status and it's just husband and wife everywhere, and you don't close the status and put Jesus on your own, you get what I'm saying? Be looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of your faith. You get what I'm saying now? So the fact that people are getting married is not a proof that you are in your own season. God makes everything beautiful in his time and what? Season. God makes everything beautiful in his time and what? Season. Amen. So there is no benchmark. Pay attention to what the Spirit of God is saying and let God lead you. Amen. All right. The fourth mistake is the mistake of premarital sex. The mistake of premarital sex. I want to show us the scripture. Sorry. Hebrews 13 verse 4. Hebrews 13 verse 4. Hebrews 13 verse 4. And I believe this scripture will really help us. The Bible said, marriage is honorable in all, but bed undefiled. But whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. Sexual intercourse outside marriage is defined as fornication. Amen. To engage in sexual intercourse outside marriage is what fornication. Now let me be blunt. Sexual intercourse outside marriage is an event, but it is sponsored by several other invisible events. One of the events that sponsors sexual intercourse outside marriage is unguarded communications. You know, statement like, I can't wait to have you. Your house, is it like a Sarah? I can't wait to finally touch every part of your body. You get what I'm saying? You dare not open the chat of some people's relationship chat. And when they come to church, they are just but you go on the WhatsApp, you are shocked. Even the devil is afraid. Because you are waking up love early. You are telling each other things. You see, you are chatting and you are having erection. That tells you that the devil is on your matter. True or not true? Amen? Somebody, you know, the girl too. The guy is just talking and then they are exciting each other. And that's when people get into sex chat. You get what I'm saying? Send me the picture of your bum bum. Send me the picture of your breast. Send me the picture of your... They send different kind of things. You know, I saw during this coronavirus outbreak, this stay indoor, a girl was saying, I'm bored. I'm tempted to send nudes to Facebook. Hey! Because the guy you are showing your bum bum, he will eventually still move on and marry another girl who has covered her own bum bum. True or not true? You are quiet. Am I touching something strong? Hey! The mistake of sexual immorality, sexual impurity. You know, some people, they after their wedding, there's no more honeymoon because the honey is gone. And they can't even get to the moon. So that's why they start fighting. You know, just after wedding. Because they've been in honeymoon 4 years before the wedding. You get what I'm saying now? They've been everywhere. All the methods they've seen. If you are listening to my voice now and then you are in a relationship that leads you to bed, not to the altar, you must break up tonight. You get what I'm saying? And then you have been led to different places. Let me show you what the Bible said about you. Proverbs 7. Let me show you. There is a word for you in the Bible. Proverbs 7. If you are there, say amen. Now, verse 22. He goeth after her straightway as an ox going to the slaughter, or as a fool to the correction of stocks, till a dart strike through his liver, and as a bird is near to the snare. And he knoweth not that this is for his life. Hearken now unto me, therefore, O ye children, and attend to the words of my mouth. Let not your heart decline to her ways, nor go astray in her path. For she has cast down many wounded. Yea, many strong men have been slain by her. A house is the way to hell, going down the chamber of death. You know, righteousness is to walk in righteousness is to have peace. There are many, listen, you are always checking every time you have missed your period. Are you pregnant? You see, you don't have peace. You don't have peace. You call him, hey, baby, I've missed my period. You got what I'm saying? Then luckily you discover that it's just delayed. You got what I'm saying? Then another month again, hey, baby, I've not seen this thing. You won't have peace. You won't have peace. You know, somebody can be the will of God for your life and you still destroy each other. The fact that somebody is the will of God doesn't mean it's totally sealed. You might mess up each other's future if you are not wise. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. So the mistake, sexual perversion or sexual immorality is a mistake. Some people have done everything. The only thing they've not done is sex. They've kissed. They've seen everything. You know what I'm saying? He has pulled the clothes. You know what I'm saying now? She knows everything and he knows everything. Hey! When they are going back from church, they will still kiss. When they are in the cinema, they will still do all those things. You know, the way you are doing your face, I will still say the things I should say. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah. People do all those things. And I've noticed that the things that God tells us to stay away from, they are for our own good. They are for our own good. Amen. I attended a brother's wedding. A brother. Far away brother. You know what I'm saying? So when it was time for the pastor to say that husband and wife should kiss, they have rehearsed this style. So I was wondering, hey, how did you guys do this rehearsal? They've known different kind of styles to do. Don't be a crook. If you have not been officially joined together, stay away. You know, I love this stay home kind of thing. Because many weddings will be postponed. Only for us to discover that the girl is already 3 months pregnant. Hey. Hey. You see, we've not done the wedding, but stomach is already coming out. There's no peace for the wicked. So stay away from fornication. Flee sexual sins. You know, for all other sins, the Bible said that we should resist the devil. But when it came to youthful law, it said you should flee. Let me say this to you. If you try to use marriage to solve the problem of fornication, you will only graduate from a fornicator to an adulterer. Because you will get married and discover that the woman cannot satisfy you. But the man cannot. Anybody who cheats God, who cheat on God with you, will cheat on you with another woman or another man. It's simple. So both of you are boycotting God now, but later you boycott each other. You know what I'm saying? So in premarital sex, there's one other foolish mistake people make. That's the attempt to use sexual intercourse to keep a man. You know what I'm saying? People try to say, you know, every time he asks for sex, I will give it to him. You know, you are giving him, is that the fruit of the Spirit? Are you giving him the Holy Ghost? Say, I will give him just to make sure he stays. At the end of the day, he will still go because it doesn't keep a man. For a man, it is a biological obligation, not a sign of commitment. You get what I'm saying now? So don't fall to that trap of using sexual, of using sex to try to keep a man. Amen. It doesn't keep any man. Glory to God. Hallelujah. You know, and we need to really talk to ourselves. Because many people who don't look like it in church, they are staunch addicts to sex. You know what I'm saying? You go behind, tell pastor, I'm coming here, I've gone to the, and then you go to the house of a boy. You know what I'm saying? You'll be there for 2 weeks. As we are speaking now, you know there was a time I was speaking. Some people are currently in the house of different kind of guys. Hey. And they've exposed their body to be afflicted by the devil. Why do people almost die when there's breakup? Because they've given something they can't talk about. You get what I'm saying now? So until marriage, you must make a commitment that no to sex. Don't say no to sex and say yes to kissing. Because that's the right way to get there. You get what I'm saying now? Say kissing, I don't know. But sex, no. You get what I'm saying? You must know the both. And then the issue of sexual purity cannot be made by one person. The decision cannot be made by one party. It must be made by the two. Two cannot work together except they agree. Hallelujah. So the premarital sex is a big mistake. It can land you in many kind of trouble. It will teach you on how to. The Bible says that he that covereth his sin shall not prosper. So People learn to cover their sins and do many things to hurt their own body. You know, many people have died in the process of trying to abort. I remember a young girl that was rushed to the clinic in Ife. The guy gave her pills. She was bleeding uncontrollably and it disappeared. And she died. Hallelujah. The fifth mistake people make in a relationship is the mistake of keeping God out of the equation. The mistake of keeping God out of the equation. Anything God is not the Alpha, it can't be the Omega. Revelation 1 verse 18. Jesus is Alpha, Omega. If you remove him from the beginning, don't expect him to come suddenly when you have, you know, destroyed yourself. In the book of Mark chapter number 4, when the disciples were trying to cross over to the other side, you got what I'm saying? And Jesus was in the boat with them. He came out from where he was sleeping and rebuked the wind and said, "Peace, be still," because he was on the boat. He was on the boat. You know, look up. This funny mistake of making the mistake of not having altar. There must be an altar. Family altar is not automatic. If there's no relationship altar, there can't be family altar. True or not true? Yes. That nature of making sure that there is a day set apart to fast and pray. And if you set a day apart to fast and pray, and you are the one boycotting that day, it means you are the one that the enemy will be striking through all the time. Because the one who is not running under God will be used by the enemy. You know, the way I've said some things. Hallelujah. You know, if two people don't teach themselves to run to God, when the enemy comes to strike, they will fight each other when they should fight the devil. Marriage is with the purpose of kingdom advancement. You hear what I'm saying? And the enemy resists anything that represents Jesus. One of the best things to do in the relationship is to have the culture of praying together. Because prayer is one of the things that guarantee that there will be no divorce. Yeah. You know, if every night I know that I have to kneel down, and I learned that principle from Pastor here at the boy. I have to kneel down and pray to God with my wife. It means nobody will ever sleep in this house with grudges. Because we have to agree together to pray. You get what I'm saying? So prayer, when people remove God from the equation, they will enjoy themselves. But in the day of their trouble, God too will be missing. Call unto God when he's near. Draw near to him. Hallelujah. So you are in a relationship, everything is sweet now. The guy is taking you out to go and enjoy yourself. Make sure you go together to church to pray. Make sure you have retreat. Make sure there are times to pray. And invest in prayer. Because there are many things that God will show you ahead. You don't just physically prepare for marriage, you spiritually prepare. Hallelujah. Prayer. So taking God away from the equation is a costly mistake. And it costs people their future, usually. The sixth mistake is the mistake of going against the will of God. Going against the will of God. You know, let me share something with you. Many years ago, I was beginning to like a girl. And I just noticed that whenever I get to church, I'm always looking at her direction. Sister, so and so and so. What kind of thing is this? You know, because to your own self, you have to be true. And whenever she's not in church, I notice I'm sad. So I had to confess to myself that this is beyond pastoral care. What I'm saying now is about 7 years ago. You know what I'm saying now? So I said, this is not just pastoral care. This is something entirely different. So I had to go and wait upon the Lord and ask God, this girl that I'm beginning to like, Father, in your mercy, please show me what she will look like in the next 10 years. I'm telling you, God showed me by his mercy. Now I will not pray that kind of prayer. I'll pray another kind. But by his mercy, he showed me. And what I saw did not look like where I was going with my life. Another time God told me, he said, the girl you are praying about is a good girl but not a good woman. Sometimes the will of God is clearly defined, but you follow after your own lust and covetousness. So you will destroy yourself. Anything, you see, the idea of this is to help you set a structure. Set the structure that anything that is not the will of God, you will run away from it. Anything that will make God not happy, you will avoid it totally.
Anything that God will look down from heaven and feel disappointed in me when I do, I will just totally avoid it, because God is still the one who is in charge of my life. Hallelujah.
So it is a very costly mistake to leave God out of the equation, or to despise the will of God. And that's the seventh mistake. Amen. So the eighth mistake is the mistake of being trapped in the past. The mistake of being trapped in the past. Trapped in the pain of your parents' marriage that didn't work well. Trapped in the pain that somebody caused you. Because if you don't heal from your wounds, you will bleed on those who didn't cut you. Is somebody following what I'm saying now? If you don't heal from your wounds, you will bleed on somebody who didn't hurt you. So many people are so good on holding on to the past. If God has moved on from something, you must learn to move on. Sometimes it is holding on to guilt. You know, that I've done something in the past and I don't feel worthy of, you know, the will of God and all those things. Romans 8 verse 1 says that there is now therefore no more condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh. You got what I'm saying now? So there is now no more condemnation. I am not glued to the past. Your parents' marriage is not your marriage. If they didn't do it well, you have learned from the mistakes they made. Sometimes the only way to repeat their mistakes is not to forgive them, or to be trapped in the fear of what you saw. You know, fear has a way of creating what you fear. Job said, "What I feared greatly has finally come." Meaning that if the enemy wants to afflict a man, he checks his fears. The fear suggests to him the area the man will feel the pain. You hear what I'm saying now? Fear of being trapped in the past. You know, you love a guy before, but it broke your heart. But you still love him. And somebody is here who is loving you. Because as I'm saying this prophetically about somebody. Somebody is now here who is everything God wants for you. But the bad one who broke your heart anyhow in the past now came and is still a player. But you are trapped in that past because he buys you cheese balls. So you leave this one and then pursue after that one. That's a mistake. You are trapped in the past. You are trapped in the past. Amen. You are trapped in what? In the past. There's something very similar to it, but are not the same. And that's the ninth mistake. And that's the mistake of resurrecting old flames. Old flames. Old flames. You know what I'm saying? And there are people that whenever they want to, we are praying about who to marry. Their heart is only open towards somebody that God they have once loved before. Their heart is not open towards new people. They don't even trust God enough that God can bring somebody new. You got what I'm saying? Into their life. They are not really like that. Just people that have loved in primary school, in secondary school. You got what I'm saying? Old flames. You know, old flames even speak in people's marriages. That a man is married and then his old girlfriend that they lost contact suddenly started living in their neighborhood. If care is not taken, they go back and start committing adultery. Or a girl is now serious with a guy, but one old guy that left for, you know, one country or the other, left for Burundi or left for Zimbabwe, you know what I'm saying? Or Katwe, you know what I'm saying? And then the guy came around now. And then the guy that has been with her loyally for 2 years is no longer relevant. They will chase vanity and come back with nothing. You get what I'm saying now? You know, there are people in church who are tongue speaking but needs to be trained again and again, because they are weak emotionally. They are very weak. If any man should hang his destiny around them as they say that they are, the guy is finished. Because all the guy needs to be destroyed, or for her to break his heart. You know what I'm saying? It's for somebody she used to like one time. Even if that one is like a chimpanzee that, you know, goes around and destroying things, if it comes, she would leave anybody for that guy. There are people whose spirit has been saved, but their soul needs to be renewed. Old flames. Old friendship. The fact that somebody you used to date in secondary school now lives around is not the proof that he's your husband. Don't say this is the proof I've been waiting for. And sometimes there are good people when you used to know them, but now a lot has happened to them. They are no longer as good as you think. You need to open your eyes and let God lead you well. Old flames, don't resurrect them. Then the 10th one is what I call the red flag mistake. The red flag mistake. So I broke it into two. The red flag mistake. Number one, the first part is ignoring red flags.
ignoring red flags. The second one is making red flag the only flag. Red flag mistakes. Life is designed in such a way that anything anybody will become, they will begin to show you gradually. Anything anybody will become, you will begin to see traces that they have tendencies of doing this. You must always check for people's tendencies. And that's why you must not accept that your spouse is very calm. You must shake the tree and see the kind of fruit that will fall. Hey, you got what I'm saying? Shake the tree. But when you are shaking the tree, don't break the tree. You got what I'm saying? Shaking the tree is not from breaking the tree. Hey, you got what I'm saying? Shake the tree. The guy always come every time and just say, sister, can we just pray? You know, hallelujah. Glory to God. You know, Sister Rose, you know, I believe. Amen. You know, where God is taking us to in life. Glory to God. Hey, go late intentionally for the appointment, 20 minutes late, then see. Because the brother was saying, glory to God, can say, you know what, Sister James, I've been meaning to tell you, sister, it's like, you know, you are behaving like one of the foolish women that the Bible describes. Hallelujah. You know, he's still using hallelujah. You know what I'm saying? Because a time is coming, you will remove the hallelujah and then change to pidgin English. Sister, if I see something wrong, girl, you know, shake the tree. Red flags are, you know, love is blind, they say, but they say marriage opens his eyes. But love is blind if you take your heart on the journey and leave your head behind. In a relationship that will be godly, you must take both the heart, the head, and the spirit into it. Hallelujah. You know, so there are red flags. Somebody showing red flags. She came around. You know, she came with her friend and saw where you are living. You know what I'm saying? And to her, it was not up to her taste. And then she started comparing with somebody and then start, you know, abusing you, no longer respect you. That's a red flag. It shows that this fellow has a gold digger. Gold. You know what I'm saying? He's a gold digger. And there are also men who are gold diggers too. They are looking for rich men's children. They are not ready to do anything. Just somebody will come and sponsor. You know what I'm saying now? Yeah. So, the mistake, the red flag mistake, the second one is making a red flag the only flag. These people they are critical people. The only thing they will see are the things you don't know how to do. You know, all the goodness you have done, they will not remember. The day you took them out, they will not. The day you were good, the day you were punctual, they will never have any day of appraisals that they praise you well and say you have done something nice. Thank you is not in their dictionary. I love you is not in their own diary. You know what I'm saying? The only thing is that you didn't do this well. You know, this one, you are not doing this well. They nag. You know what I'm saying? Nagging is like using armor on somebody's head to try to cure headache. You are eating somebody with armor and say, I want to cure your headache. That's what nagging does. It doesn't make anything fine. Hallelujah. So the red flags you are seeing are not the only flag. Everybody has red flags. If you are living in fear, you will make red flag the only flag. You see 101 reasons why the relationship will not work. You are pessimistic. You get what I'm saying? Because if Jesus too should look at our own red flag, you will never be married to him. True or not true? Yeah. Hallelujah. So the 11th mistake here. 11th mistake is the mistake of fear of marriage because of the bad ones we have seen. Fear of marriage. You have seen so many marriages that have shown to you the reasons why marriages may not work. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I want to show you a scripture. God speaking to Joshua in the book of Joshua chapter number 1. You know, God had to tell Joshua in Joshua chapter number 1 alone 4 times that fear not, be of good courage. Be strong and be of good courage. Be strong and be of good courage. Marriage is a journey for the courageous. Everywhere you get to, there are marriages that are working well and there are marriages that are not working. If the ones you have seen are the ones that are not working, change your environment to see the ones that are working. Amen. Is somebody what I'm saying now? It is not every man that beats his wife. It is not every woman that is rude to her husband. You get what I'm saying? So there are marriages that are working. God has not given us the spirit of bondage again to fear, but of what? Love and of sound mind. If God has said this is the fellow he has ordained for you, you must believe that God is not foolish. He knows what he's doing. Everything needed for your life to be sweet, God has provided and seen in that fellow. So you know what I'm saying now? Yeah. So there's no need for fear. At the end of the day, our fears doesn't exist. They don't exist. The fear of, will this fellow satisfy me sexually? Will this fellow do the right thing to do? Will the home be peaceful? Will I have time to be flexible with this fellow? Will we have time to talk together? How will our children raising be? Get to the bridge before you cross it. Sometimes those fear are suggestions from the enemy. You know, there are women who fear childbirth. They are not even pregnant yet. They are not even married. They fear that when they are pregnant, they will just lose their shape. What do you want? Children or shape? Both. Then do exercise. Amen. If what you want is both, do exercise. Talk and do all those things. But don't be afraid. Amen. Put your hand on your chest and say, I'm not afraid of marriage. Say it affirmatively. My home will be sweet. It will be heaven on earth. It will be heaven on earth. Hallelujah. God even encouraged God and said, enjoy the wife of your youth. Don't wait till you are 80 when there's no more teeth. Now say, baby, I love you. But why would you not love her? You're already 80. Amen. But whilst you are young, enjoy your marriage. Enjoy the wife of your youth. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So, because I have to rush. Now, the 12th mistake is the mistake of matchmaking. Baba Emeka wants you to marry his son because both of them are business partners. And then they feel if you are both married, the business empire will grow together. Don't let anybody matchmake you, and don't matchmake anybody. I refuse to be matchmate. You get what I'm saying? Refuse to let any. You are not a stick of matches. Don't let anybody match you together. Know God's will for yourself and be bold. You have been shaking up and down. You've been afraid, timid. Anybody can talk you into anything. Enough is enough. Stay with your convictions. Amen. Is somebody what I'm saying now? So know God's will for yourself. Stay with it. Don't fall into the mistake of matchmaking. Don't let anybody match you with anybody. Somebody get what I'm saying now? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Alright, so quickly I will have to jump to the next mistake that people make, which is the 13th mistake. That's the mistake of hiding yourself from your counselors. You know, somebody get what I'm saying now? The mistake of hiding yourself from your what? Counselors. No, nobody hides themselves from those that will bury them. You can't hide yourself from those that will bury you. You know what I'm saying? And that's why it is important that you have trusted counselors. The Bible said in multitude of counsel there is safety. You know what I'm saying now? So all those things you are seeing now that are red flags, the things that can bring tears to the both of you, before you get married, lay it bare. You know, so sir, this area, we've been able to settle this area, but this area is not going well. A girl went to meet a pastor for marriage counseling, and the guy she's been saying is a man of God, is so this. His phone rang, and it was Timaya that was singing. And the pastor said, are you sure of the things you are saying? She knew the guy smokes once in a while when he gets depressed, and she hides the whole thing. 2 days after wedding, he beat her into a pulp. Her eyes were swollen like a frog. He punched the other eye from the eyes. You got what I'm saying now? Yeah. So don't hide yourself from your counselors. God has blessed you with those counselors for a reason. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So don't make the mistake of hiding yourself from your counselors. So the 14th mistake here is the mistake of laying faulty foundation. The mistake of laying faulty foundation. The book of Psalms, chapter number 11, verse 3. The Bible said, if the foundation be destroyed, what can the righteous do? 1 Corinthians 3, verse 9 to 10. Paul was speaking to the Corinthians, said to them that I, as a wise master builder, have laid well the foundation, and let everyone be careful how they build thereupon. Amen. So it takes wisdom to lay foundation. Proverbs 24, verse 3. The Bible says, through wisdom is a house built, and by understanding it is established. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. I said amen. So don't make fault, don't lay faulty foundation. You know, people ignore very dangerous things. People ignore very dangerous things. So please look up. Let me quickly talk to you at this junction. Look up. Anything you want your home to look like,
start building a replica of such in the relationship. If you want a giving home, start learning to give together. If you want a prosperous home, start learning to discuss finances. You know, one of the mistakes people do is that they are insecure about the issue of finance. You know, how much do you make? What are the things you can do around money? You know what I'm saying? If you want your home to be a praying home, start, you know, discussing. It is the kind of foundation that you lay that you will have. The way you lay your bed is the way you lie on it. Somebody is busy praying with his spouse, praying, and then they pray every time. You know, they discuss God's word. They discuss about themselves, have time to go out and all those things. And the other one is busy sleeping with his own. The result will be different. God cannot be mocked. What a man sows is what he will reap. You get what I'm saying? If you remove sexual intercourse out of many relationships, there's nothing more there. And the guy knows, the girl too knows. You know, so marriage is permit me to use the word journey of no return. You know, apart from the fact that we're in this generation where people throw away anything that breaks and are not trying to mend it. Whenever there's a dispute, the question is, can we resolve? Not how can we resolve? You get what I'm saying now? So, ideally, it's supposed to be a journey that is, you know, an everlasting trip. You get what I'm saying now? But you have to lay foundation. You'll be with somebody for the rest of your life. What kind of person do you want to see? Is this the kind of person that when anyone wants to attack, cannot see it coming? Somebody that when you need someone that will help you counsel the children or counsel the teenagers in church, cannot talk to them. Somebody that you are afraid of the way she will attend to your family. Anything you want to see, be bold about discussing them now. Discuss them with boldness. Discuss them with strength. You know, foundation laying season is a very tough season. And then, you know, when you are starting, the foundation laying season is the season of commencement. True or not true? Yes. And commencement of anything is the toughest phase. If you are learning how to type, you know what I'm saying? Using your five fingers, the way it should be typed, it's quite difficult. If you are learning to play on the keyboard, it's difficult. But then you get to a place that is called the place of rest. So the place of foundation, I don't think, the idea of a foundation is not beauty. The idea is strength. So in the season of laying foundation, you are not looking for what is beautiful. You are looking for what is strong. So it takes energy, strength, effort, consistency to make it strong. So people don't want to invest energy. They don't want to invest strength. So they lay faulty foundation. Discuss everything that needs to be discussed. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And then another mistake, you know, still around the mistake of faulty foundation, is that people fail to build on the word of God. You know, you are in a relationship with someone, and whenever any tribulation comes, the fellow will tell you, can we leave the Bible and face reality? That tells you that the word of God is not the fellow's reality. What do? You pause. You talk, you see. When I mean pause, I'm not saying you should stop the relationship. I'm saying both of you, hold on. Don't be excited. Don't laugh it off. There are things you don't laugh off. There are things that when you hear, you say, please hold on. Did you just say what you just said now? Can we discuss about this? Are you telling me that when you are in a season of tribulation, the word of God cannot encourage you? You are with somebody that when the fellow is down, Bible, the word of God cannot make the fellow lively again. That's a big problem. True or not true? Yes. So there are things to be discussed. You have to build on the word. What is our perspective towards tithing? What's our perspective towards church attendance? What's our perspective towards ministry? What's our perspective towards holiness? What's our perspective towards many things? Assumption is the mother of frustration. It's the lowest degree of man's intelligence. Don't assume. You get what I'm saying? Bring yourself down. Discuss these things. You know, I've said to you that in the relationship, people that are touching, they will not talk. And when they are talking, they will not touch. Because there will be too many things to go over and over and over and over again. I'm always scared when people tell me that they're in a relationship and they don't have problem. In the place of discussing, problem will come. In this world, you'll have tribulation, true or not true. Or be of good cheer because I've overcome the world. So when you are discussing to the point you should get to, I mean, there's going to be rancor, there'll be friction. And that's a sign that you're doing something rightly. If you're avoiding the things you should touch, everything will look smooth until you get to the future. Both of you will be shocked. Build well. Hallelujah. Any home, anything that is enviable has to be built. Anywhere there's no structure, there's no enviable future. Amen. But there has to be structure. What are our persuasions? What do we believe? Amen. Who is our spiritual father? Who are those we are accountable to? Who is our mentor? Who are those who consider friends? Who are our allies? Ha!
Hallelujah.
Glory to God. And I believe. Someone is learning something here. The 15th mistake is the mistake of over-familiarity. Over-familiarity. People will respect each other, loving, caring, charming, until they say yes. And when they say yes, they become familiar. You know, even love has to be protected. Love must be protected. You know what I'm saying? Love must be protected. Such that we don't say, because we now have each other, that we can treat each other like crap. You can't just talk to your spouse anyhow. You know, you can't talk to your spouse. And these are the things, these are the ways you know whether you are in trouble or not. You know, just with any little provocation, the fellow call you mad, call you stupid, call you all those kind of stuff. You know, there's fire on the mountain. Don't ignore these things. I once heard a young lady that said that she cannot marry a man who cannot beat her. But a kind of husband must have action. And I was wondering, because she had seen all those things. That tells us that there's something within her that needs to be cast out. That's a demonic spirit. Who wants to stay in a house where you have been flogged? Breaking bottles every now and then. You get what I'm saying now? So these are things that needs to be checked. These are things that needs to be dealt with. Over familiarity is real. Sometimes in marriage, the way you were looking sweet and all nice, now you are married, but you are just 25. You are tying wrapper up and down. Are you your grandma? You get what I'm saying? You are tying wrapper. You know, you wake up in the morning, you are a girl, you went to university. Now you are chewing stick in the house. Who bewitched you? You get what I'm saying? You are a man too. You know, the way your six packs, everything was looking good. Now you say you have a wife. Look at your stomach. Do you swallow mortar? You get what I'm saying? So these are things people do. You say, now I have her. I can do any I like. Listen. The Bible said, blessed are the mercy, for they shall obtain what? Mercy. Have mercy on your spouse and make yourself appealing. It's a form of mercy. Have mercy on them. Let them see something nice. You get what I'm saying now? You are making breakfast in bed. You don't know the kind of breakfast to make. Every time you make oki. You get what I'm saying? I say the fellow is looking at you as a village person. The way some people aren't doing marriage, you make it look like the causes they are avoiding has finally come. You get what I'm saying? Be nice. Look good. You get what I'm saying now? Know what fits you. Hello? You guys are not looking at me. Do you get what I'm saying? Some things don't look good on you. Know what fits you. As a woman too, you must know what fits you. Your husband has been going everywhere saying food is ready. When he comes home, make sure food is ready here also. Let me leave that. Because some people have said that the role of a woman is not cooking. Everybody should know how to cook because they deserve to eat good food. You get what I'm saying now? Have mercy on each other. Don't be over familiar. You get what I'm saying now? Number 16. The mistake of dishonor. The mistake of what? Dishonor. You know? Honor is perception of what? Honor is the reflection of a fellow's what? The way you honor a fellow reveals their what, their weight in your hands. Hallelujah. So, people fall into the mistake of dishonoring each other because now they believe they have each other. So, you must deliberately choose to honor yourselves. I saw something some years ago. Somebody said, the only time you see an African man opening the door of the car for his wife. Okay, he said, when you see an African man opening the door of the car for his wife, it is either of these two things. Either the car is new or the wife is new. An average African man is not romantic. You are not an African man. You are a kingdom man. You get what I'm saying? The only gift you'll be buying for her is books. You get what I'm saying? Bible. Now she has King James. She has Dick's Bible. She has different study Bible. You don't have any other thing out of that jurisdiction to buy. You get what I'm saying? You say if you buy her flower, she will not like it. Have you bought it in the first place? Buy her shawarma. These are good things to do. You get what I'm saying now? You don't need impartation before you have sense. You just have to look outside your jurisdiction. See the way other people do these things. You get what I'm saying now? You get what I'm saying now? So, this is somebody here who has just bought cake for his wife to be, for his darling. You get what I'm saying? So, take the cake. Hallelujah. Yeah. So, this is a way of being romantic. You get what I'm saying now? You have bought out different books from Billy Akoni to Oedipo, from Kenneth E. again to Rejoiner. We bless God for your life, Mr. Bookbuyer. You get what I'm saying? Switch. Learn to take her out. The only place you go for recreational activity is mountain. Church, prayer, mountain, retreat center. Beyond all those things, sir, do something more. You get what I'm saying now? Hallelujah. I saw somebody who posted something that why should a man kneel down to propose to his babe or the wife to be? Because she deserves it. You get what I'm saying? Because she deserves it. On your wedding day, as a man, if you cry, you are not a weakling. It's a sign that you know somebody is giving you something precious. A good wife is the kind of gift only God can give. You get what I'm saying now? So honor. Through what? Honor. That every day of my life, I will make real attempts to make sure I bring you goodness. I'll make real attempt to make sure I bring smile on your face. I will wake up in the middle of the night and compose a good message that you will love when you wake up. And tell her, you get what I'm saying? That if love was a fruit, I will love apple. If love was a house, I'll pick mansion. If love was a car, I'll go for G-Wagon. If love was human, I'll pick you. Hey! That's the punchline. You get what I'm saying? Not that you are saying that you are the only cockroach in my nonsense. You get what I'm saying? You know how to write something very nice. You know there's a way you can make somebody read something and their network will be jamming. Hey! You get what I'm saying now? That the woman is just, you know, sometimes your fiancé or your wife is at the place of work. You get what I'm saying? And you know she must be having a really hard time. You know, you can ease the tension by writing something extremely nice. Something very good. Baby, I'm just thinking about you now. Just to let you know I love you. I can't wait to spend the rest of my life with you. Amazing words. Glory to God. Is somebody following me now? Is somebody following what I'm saying now? Yeah. You must learn to speak good words to each other. The Bible said good words heal wounds. You hear what I'm saying now? It does. It does heal wounds. No one is complaining here. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So, you must make decisions. You see, you must be skillful. You must be skillful about making each other happy. Amen. You must be skillful about making each other happy. You know, you don't need anointing to make each other happy. Skillfulness and thoughtfulness. Knowing how to do small things in an unusual way. You get what I'm saying now? Small things in an unusual way. You know, don't just present your fiancé with a gift. It is not bad if there's a note on it. Just to let you know I love you, baby. Just to let you know you are my all in all. I'm not saying that because I didn't see a note on that one. The only thing I saw on it is the receipt. But that's not what I'm saying now. Glory to God. Amen. Look up. You know, the colorfulness around your relationship is a reflection of the skillfulness of your mind. Yeah. It's a reflection of the skillfulness of your mind. That you must be skillful. You know, making each other happy is a deliberate effort. It's a very deliberate thing. Happiness doesn't jump into any relationship. It has to be done deliberately. And then, listen, men, if you notice that women are moved by words, it means you must sharpen your speech. You must know how to use that tool well. You get what I'm saying now? See, there's a way to speak to a woman that even if she has not said yes to you, she will start giving seat for you in church. Because it needs to be here. I mean, no one else needs to be here than him. You know, a woman might not have said yes to you, but she has kept a permanent space for you in her heart. He's the one here. He's the Lord over my heart. You hear what I'm saying now? Very important things to do. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So it takes deliberate effort to make each other happy. You have to do it every day, day at a time. Something at a time. You know what I'm saying? Doing something that will make each other happy. Glory to God. Amen. So, the mistake of honor. Honor, and when I say honor, I don't mean you start calling your spouse daddy me or mommy. You know what I'm saying? Get good pet names. You'll not get these things in the book of Corinthians. You get what I'm saying? You get good pet names. Very nice one. Because I saw a man, they said he should sing love song for his wife, and he was singing, "Winner, oh, winner." If your spouse is important, you must make deliberate effort to show them. Don't hide them. You get what I'm saying? Don't hide them. Tell it upon mountain tops. Say it on every hill. Let the world know what they mean to you. Hallelujah. Be skillful. And it is also important that you find out what makes your spouse happy. You get what I'm saying? If your spouse says she likes Indomie, that Indomie is her best food, that doesn't mean you should kill her with Indomie. Be creative. Do some other things. You get what I'm saying? And as a man, it is important you know how to cook too, so that you can know, you can serve your wife. Because you see, if you don't know how to cook as a man, you will really suffer. Your wife will not cook all the days of her life. A time is coming, she will be pregnant and you'll have to be the one in the kitchen. When those days finally come, will what you have sown not finally come to haunt you? Maybe you pour kerosene inside egg or something. So learn to cook good food. There's no such thing as a man, you don't know how to cook because women have to cook. Cook well because you are a man, you decide to eat good food. Glory to God. Somebody get what I'm saying now? Yeah. The 18th mistake, which is the mistake of, no, sorry, the 17th mistake. That's the mistake of downplaying the role of finances, trivializing the role of money. You get what I'm saying? If you are creative with romance but you are broke, you still not look romantic. If you are creative with romance and you are broke, you still not look romantic. The joy of the bedroom in marriage is good financial account. You get what I'm saying? If debtor is knocking the door, children's school fees is looming, and all those things, there's no way you try, you not look romantic, you look older than your age. Don't let anybody put you under pressure when you can't afford it yet. Talk about money. At least make sure there is a consistent source of income. Sometimes the money that is coming in yet will demand that after marriage, you wait for a year of living together as husband and wife before you now start inviting children. You get what I'm saying now? Sometimes the children should come and meet that level of finance. They will cost the both of you. So talk about money. Talk about money. But don't stretch yourself beyond what you can handle. Sew your clothes according to your available material. On your wedding day, you are trying to feed people who are not hungry. If you cannot afford it, share cabin biscuit and pure water. And let everyone go to their father's house. You get what I'm saying? And then enjoy yourself. Well, okay, let me balance it. Let me answer somebody's thought. You will not have to share cabin biscuit on your wedding day. In Jesus' name. But what I'm saying is that don't put yourself under unnecessary pressure. Do what you can afford. If you cannot afford it, stay on your lane. Talk about money. How much do you earn? I've said that it doesn't look like all is well with a relationship where the both parties are adding their salary from each other. All doesn't look well. You know, if you look at the way God made the Garden of Eden, the Bible said there were 5 streams of water flowing into it. It is good to have multiple streams of income. You get what I'm saying? And you must humble yourself to do that. It is okay to have multiple streams of income. Invest in different things. Invest in many things that you know you can do. Invest in your wife. Let her start up different businesses. If a man called to full-time ministry, you cannot marry a woman who is also in full-time. Both of you will be hungry and your children will hate God. That's the truth. Your children will hate ministry because you have shown to them that when people say yes to God, they will be hungry. So you must do your life in such a way that the next generation will be glad with the decisions you make. Don't trivialize money. When we mention money, don't be emotional. Don't be insecure. If you are insecure, it's a sign that you need to work on it. You get what I'm saying? Don't throw that guilt card that, you know, God is the one that knows everybody's timing. Keep quiet. Talk about it bluntly, even if it will hurt you. Hallelujah. Don't downplay the role of finances. Talk about it. So, the 18th mistake is the mistake of unguided communication. The mistake of unguided communication. Let there be rules. The Bible said when we break the hedge, the serpent will strike. Alright, let no evil communication proceed out of your mouth. All our conversations have to be guided. You know, we have to understand that in a good relationship, it is not between you and your spouse. It is between you and your spouse and God. You, your spouse, and God. You, your spouse, and God. Please check it. They said it's breaking. It is between you, your spouse, and God. Between you, your spouse, and God. So every relationship has to be guided. Amen. It has to be watched. You have to say only that which brings edification. Only that, you know, only what, if exposed to the light, will stand the test of time. Hallelujah. So, there has to be guided communication. Everything. Don't talk as though there is no God between you. Don't talk the other fellow down. And don't wake each other's emotions up when you are not ready for it. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Now, the 19th mistake is the mistake of hiding from each other. The mistake of hiding. Hiding from each other. In the book of Genesis chapter number 3, when Adam and Eve sinned, and the Bible says that in the cool of the evening, they heard the voice of God walking in the garden, and they hid themselves, and God cried out and said, "Adam, where are you?" And then he said, "I hid myself, for I saw that I was naked." You hear what I'm saying? Understand that the fellow coming into your life has been wired and anointed to take care of your worst shame. Don't hide. Don't what? Don't hide. Believe that the fellow coming to your life can handle it. It is better to be hated for who you are than to be loved for who you are not. So don't hide yourself. Don't hide your scar. Don't hide your mistakes. Don't hide. If you are, see, listen, if you are not a virgin, you've lost your virginity one way or the other. You hear what I'm saying? Either you were raped, you were a victim of rape, because many things can be a cause of it. You hear what I'm saying? And now you are about getting engaged. Say it. So the enemy will not come and play it and tender it as a joker card tomorrow in the future. Hallelujah. Don't hide from each other. Glory to God. And the last mistake is the mistake of hearing this message once. Amen. The last mistake is the mistake of hearing this message once. God bless you in the name of Jesus. In everything you do, the Lord will protect you. He will guide you with His love. In the name of Jesus, you will not make mistakes. You will not fail. You will not make mistakes. Your home will be sweet. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, blessed Father. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. God bless you. Good to have you on this edition. See you some other time. God bless you.
True transformation is evident for doers and not just hearers of the word. Be a doer of these words of transformation.
To reach us, send an email to femilazarus326@gmail.com. Stay blessed.